Every day, in communities just like yours, men and women devote their lives to building our economies, brick by brick and job by job. These are their stories. You're listening to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers, hosted by Tim Tarantine and Amanda Harrison.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers. I'm Amanda, here with my good friend Tim.
Hello.
And today we're highlighting one of the top economic developers in the nation. But before we do, since this is our very first podcast in a new series, Tim, can you explain to our listeners a little bit why we're doing this?
Sure. Well, we believe the most powerful force for change is a job, and the people in economic development do that work every day. And often they do it in the shadows. We often take most of the criticism, and sometimes some people would say we take more credit than we should. But either way, whatever side of that opinion you're on, economic developers and their work are important to our nation's growth. And so we want to lift up those who have gone over and above, those who have built communities and attraction efforts from the ground up, and we want to celebrate those people who are at the top of their game. And so I'm so excited about these conversations we get to have.
With that being said, we'll get right to our very first economic developer that we're highlighting, and that's Cal Ray. He is the executive director from Clarksville Economic Development Council in Tennessee. And what's unique about Cal is that he's actually relatively new to this role. He's been with this organization for less than a year, and because of that, has the ability to offer some great insight into what it's like to change communities as an economic developer and change organizations, which, as we know, every economic development organization is set up and operates a little bit differently. So I am excited for you to hear the conversation that I had with Cal this week. Let's take a listen. Hi, Cal. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm really excited to talk with you a little bit more about your community and about your career. Before we get started, would you mind telling us what's something that everybody who's listening should know about you?
Well, there's a couple of things. One is I've had the ability to go to school in Alabama, Tennessee, and Georgia. And fortunately, with my economic development career, I was able to spend 3.5 years in Alabama and North Alabama doing economic development. Then the last 7 years in Georgia, in Dublin, Georgia, doing economic development. And for the last 7 months here in Clarksville with a public-private partnership for economic development. So it's working in multiple states and seeing different ways that states and local communities do it. But then probably the more interesting piece is that my wife and I have 6 children, 3 boys and 3 girls, which tends to always get everyone's attention.
Yeah, well, that's not super common today, having 6 kids, but what a fun family. It probably keeps you busy in terms of your career, but even more so your family life.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's always something going on, and there's always a juggling act between the professional side and the family side.
Yeah, I think that is probably something everyone can relate to, that whole concept of work-life balance, and is something that seems to be kind of at the forefront of companies' minds today. Is that something that you have practices or strategies around within your organization for your staff?
No, absolutely. We encourage our staff constantly. We work with them on our schedule so that they can attend their children's events, so that they can be with family. I think we go the extra mile to make sure that they take that family time, because I personally think it's very important. It's a mix. We work a lot. We work hard, but you've got to be able to make time for your family. You got to be able to make time for your children. And I think we try to push that through our entire, we have 19 employees, and it's very important for everyone to feel comfortable that when there is a family event, when there's a time, when there is the need to spend time with family, that we work to make sure that can happen.
Yeah, I think that's great. And it's something that's going to keep those team members engaged and loving their work and building stronger communities when they can focus on family when that's appropriate and focus on work when that's appropriate. So I think that's outstanding. You mentioned that you've been in your current position for about 6 or 7 months at this point. Would you mind telling us a little bit about what it was like to transition communities, transition organizations? Were there a lot of differences between the two? I know you said you came from Georgia, now you're in the Tennessee area. So tell us what that's like to make that jump in economic development.
Yeah, well, after being in Georgia for 7 years, the organization in Georgia was purely an industrial development board. So purely economic development, industrial recruitment. The organization in Tennessee is a partnership, public-private, between the Chamber of Commerce, the Convention and Visitors Bureau, and the Industrial Development Board. So public-private partnership, two-thirds public funding, one-third private funding with the chamber membership. So it's different being in the two different states. I'll tell you, on the front end in Georgia, there's a lot of assistance from the state for industrial recruitment. You have a lot of project managers. You have a lot of upfront resources in going after projects and discovering projects and looking for opportunities. Where in Tennessee, there's a much cleaner staff, so probably 20-plus project managers in Georgia versus 6 in Tennessee. So it was a lot more focused here in Tennessee on the local community, helping to produce their own leads, helping to produce their own opportunities. And on the back end, when you actually have projects that are close to locating, Tennessee puts a lot more resources into the back end in infrastructure incentives to locate companies, financial incentives to locate companies. Now, that doesn't mean Georgia doesn't do a lot as well, but Tennessee has put more focus on dollars and cents on the back end to help close the deals. So two different ways of doing it. Both have been very successful. Georgia and Tennessee have been, you know, top five states in the country for industrial development, for job creation, large projects. Just here in Clarksville, we had the Hankook announcement, which is tire manufacturing with 1,800 jobs in October of 13. You had large announcements in Georgia throughout. So both states do a great job. Both states just have a little different way of doing it, a little different involvement of the staffs. I would say completely different, but they both have a lot of merits in both ways that they do it.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's actually really interesting to think about that, how every state obviously approaches economic development differently. Every organization is structured differently and approaches it in their own unique way. What do you think is the one thing about your current community of Clarksville that you're in right now that makes it the most unique? So brag to us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so I mentioned that the current setup, we have the Clarksville-Montgomery County Economic Development Council. So there's three member entities.
Okay.
You have the Chamber of Commerce, you have the Convention and Visitors Bureau, and then you have the Industrial Development Board. So the goal of the Economic Development Council is to kind of be that guiding piece for marketing so that you have consistent message throughout, you have just a consistent branding throughout to kind of keep all three of those very different organizations going in the same direction. You're trying not to replicate functions, you're trying not to replicate duties. So that's a piece in itself, keeping everyone on task, bringing the city, bringing the county, who have boards and seats and positions within throughout the organization. You have 74 board members between those three organizations that sit on those various pieces. So that's a piece in itself, trying to keep everyone on the same message, everyone moving together, everyone, you know, trying to do better for the community. But we have one piece that says really set it apart. We have something called the Aspire Clarksville Foundation, and that is a grouping of 100% private dollars. Currently, we have 59 investors in that endeavor that have raised for the next 5 years $4.1 million to do private economic development. So that organization is set up to, say, put roughly $800,000 a year back into the economic development efforts of the community, divided between the Chamber of Commerce, the Industrial Development Board, the Convention and Visitors Bureau, and our downtown economic development organization, to put private dollars in where government dollars could not be used for. So if you're going to host a prospect, we do a red carpet tour every year. So those 59 investors have enough faith in us that they put $4.1 million into our efforts so that we can do efforts that government or public dollars cannot do. And I think that really sets the community apart. And so far, this is our fifth campaign, what we call Aspire 5. And the first four, for every one private dollar that was invested, we've had an $80 return on investment back into the community. So we really leveraged those private funds and done a huge amount of job creation and capital investment recruitment into the community.
That's amazing. I think that is a huge testament to the community that you're in, and the fact that private citizens are willing to invest so much into the community that they love and they believe in your organization and the mission that you guys are achieving to do that. That's a really cool story. Thank you for telling us that. You mentioned the red carpet tour. That sounds like a fun event. Is that something you'd be willing to share with us a little bit more about?
Yeah, absolutely. So we do this. We've done four of these. The last one was in June of 14. So what we had were, we brought in 8 site selectors and a plus one and 2 companies plus one. So we had 10 really participants on the tour. And we do a couple of things. But Clarksville is roughly 40 miles from downtown Nashville, huge music scene, obviously. So we do a thing. We bring them in, and we do a songwriter event on the, say, Tuesday night. Then we bring them to the hotel. The following day, we do a complete tour of Clarksville. We show them our industrial sites. We show them our downtown. We show them our riverfront. We show them Austin Peay State University, which is our four-year university. So they really get a feel for the community, really get a feel for the industrial base we have. They get a feel for the, you know, the white-collar jobs we have in the community. And then at the end of the next night, the Country Music Awards, we take them to that large concert. And what we do is we bring them in, we pay all their transportation in, we pay all their expenses while they're in town for the 48 hours. Both for them and their plus one. That's been a huge event. This year, we've just since June when we brought them in, we've seen about $3.5 billion of potential investment from those either site selectors or companies that were involved just on that tour.
Yeah, it sounds like an amazing opportunity to build those key relationships that really are important in bringing projects and to your community. And it sounds like a fun event too. All those music scene events in Nashville sounds like a great time. Something else that I understand about your community is that there's an Army post located close by. Are you doing anything around workforce development to help soldiers transitioning from active service?
Yeah, absolutely. Fort Campbell, Kentucky is what everyone hears. So they always think Kentucky. Actually, 65% of the installation is in Tennessee, is in Montgomery County. So that's a piece. Everyone associates it with Kentucky, but it's a big piece of our community. Between the active duty soldiers, there's about 31,000 active duty soldiers. There's another several thousand civilians. With those active duty and civilian workforce plus the dependents, there's about a 70,000 person touch in the community. By the time you add military retirees, because there's a lot of retirees that stay in Clarksville, you have about 150,000 people that are touched by Fort Campbell. So you have their benefits put back in, you have their salaries put back in, you have a lot that live off post in the community, both on the Kentucky side and the Tennessee line. So it's a huge piece of the community. They're really ingrained here. The Army, a lot of the people who've been at Fort Campbell like to retire or finish their last stop at Fort Campbell. But really, you have 3 to 4 to 5 to at max 600 soldiers a month at ETS out of the military. So those are people who have the soft skills that industry is looking for. They have a lot of the training that industry is looking for, but it's not an asset we've always taken advantage of. So we're working right now on what we call a manufacturer's industrial council. And it's a good partnership between the industrial board and the Chamber of Commerce to really take advantage of those soldiers that are leaving. Because a lot of the soldiers who ETS out of the Army, they end up leaving the community for work. If we had opportunities for them here, they would stay, their spouses would stay, and it would really help continue to grow our community. So we're working with our industrial base to figure out skill sets that they're in need or there's a lack of here. Because in that final 12 months before a soldier leaves the military, there are training opportunities that are fully funded by the military that really industry and the community can take advantage of by getting those skilled pieces back into the workforce that our industry needs here to continue to grow and to continue to thrive.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for sharing that. That's obviously a very unique element to your community, but also, you know, the workforce that would go back into your region, but then also this side of it of just taking care of the men and women who have served our country. So I think that's great that you're putting effort into that and appreciate you sharing that with us today. I've got just a couple more questions for you. So let's back up a little bit because I'm not even sure I originally asked you this at the beginning, but how did you choose to get into a career of economic development? What attracted you to the industry?
Well, that's an interesting piece. I was finishing up a master's degree in international affairs at Georgia Tech, and an opportunity came up for an internship in economic development, really looking at IEDC standards. This was back 2002, 2003, and helping my hometown community of Coleman, Alabama, look at some of those issues, answer some of those questions, and try to look at what needed to be improved upon. So I did an internship there. When I finished my master's degree, I had passed the foreign service exam, and I had about 4 months to kill before sitting for the oral interviews in D.C., and knowing I had done that internship, the Coleman, Alabama, my hometown community, asked me if I would be interested in working with them. And I said, no, not really. I've got this interview in 3 months. I'm really hoping Foreign Service is the route I take. I said, well, can you come in and help us for 3 months? We'll do whatever you need. And 3.5 years later, I was still there really fell in love with the profession, the opportunities it provided. And after 3.5 years, made the switch to Georgia, took over an industrial board there, spent 7 years there. But it was really having my background really was designing incentive packages, working with existing industry, and really that allowed me some stepping stones that allowed me to really work in multiple states, work with multiple types of organizations. And I've been doing this 11 years now and love every minute of it. And it was really that first internship as I was getting a master's degree that opened the door that's really turned into a career.
This is a huge testimony to the fact that internships often catch that talent before they're on their way out the door, and they keep them long term and ultimately sort of change your career trajectory. So I think that's a very cool story. In closing, I want to ask you, as you look to the future, what do you think is going to be the most important thing for economic developers and communities to focus on in order to achieve your missions and bring success to your area?
I actually have a pretty strong opinion on that one. I think it's a piece more and more people are starting to look at, but I think the workforce piece is the biggest issue. As you see more advanced manufacturing, as you see more opportunities, and whether it's manufacturing, whether it's back office, or whether it's technical pieces, or whether it's headquarters pieces, the workforce is really what I think is the differentiating factor now. Everyone can find raw dirt. Especially the larger communities, everyone can find the infrastructure they need, or at least they have plans to get infrastructure there. I think the piece that so many communities are not taking is a long enough look at is the workforce piece. Mm-hmm. How do you get the skilled workforce? How do you get the engineers? How do you get the maintenance people? How do you get those people who actually are credentialed? You can actually say, you're going to create 500 jobs in my community, but you need 400 skilled people. You know, in the past, it was, could you provide enough warm bodies? We'll train them. I think it's gone past that now. I think it's, you've got to look at the training programs in your community. How can you get the school system, the high school system with STEM programs? How can you get the community and technical colleges with their industrial programs, with their maintenance programs, with their mechatronics programs? How can you get the four-year universities with their engineering or their engineering associates? How can you bring all those pieces together? How can you keep that talent in your community? You know, you're going to be competing with the Atlantas of the world, the Dallases, the Chicagos, the New Yorks, Los Angeleses. But how in the medium, the small medium or the smaller metro size areas, how can you keep that intellectual property, intellectual talent in your communities so that you can use that as a marketing resource as you go after industrial or manufacturing? And I think that's a piece that a lot of people skim over. One of those arguments is, if you create the jobs, they're going to come here. Well, that may be true, but how are you going to convince the companies that that's going to happen so that they're willing to locate so that then you can recruit the people in? I think it's the other way around. I think you've got to show them that base of an employment, that base of skills, that they're comfortable enough to locate. That gives you that advantage. So I think the workforce piece is the piece that's going to be the most critical for communities going forward. And I think the ones that tackle that the fastest are the ones that are going to do better over the next 10, 15, 20 years.
Well, it sounds like you guys are doing great work. Congratulations on the work that you're doing. Congratulations on that Handcut project. That is a huge win for your community. And thank you so much for speaking with me today. It really has been a pleasure. And thank you for being one of North America's top 50 economic developers.
No, thank you so much. It is very much an honor.
Thank you for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, where we're working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please visit consultantconnect.com or tweet me at Ron Kitchens.